are in the Jewish calendar this morning? Yom Kippur. And we're just ending Yom Kippur, are we not? It wraps up tomorrow. Have I got that right? Yeah, tomorrow. And so in the Jewish calendar, what that means is we're at the start of the new year. And this morning, and you'll see why in a few minutes, I wanted to recognize that we're starting the Jewish New Year. And by doing so, I've asked David if he would come and blow the shofar. So David, he's going to come up, but I'm going to share a little bit about what it means to the Jewish people when the shofar is blown. One of the things it means, the return of the king. And are we not waiting for the return of our king? It also is the great alarm clock. It's the time to wake up. It's days of repentance and reminds us of that. And there's a whole world out there we know that needs to repent. It reminds us to rededicate ourselves to the Lord. Like, where are we standing? Lord, have I kind of wandered away from you? Have you become less than? It's a time to remind ourselves to step back in, to get into his word again. It reminds us of the voice of the prophets who spoke about the coming Messiah. It reminds us of tears because we need a Messiah. It reminds us of the sacrifice, and the shofar is made out of the ram's horn to remind us that God provides. It speaks of the awesomeness of God. And when we hear it, it fills us with awe, but the awe of God. It's a time to be introspective and to think there is a judgment day coming. For us, we'll stand before the throne of God in Christ's righteousness for the believer. It speaks to us of celebration because we have salvation. Because of Jesus. And it speaks to us of unity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the unity in the body of believers. And it also is a scream. And so that was an interesting one. That our souls eternally scream out for God in a desire to be with our Creator. So this morning, as David blows the shofar, I want you, one of those may have resonated with you or all of them, to think about that. The shofar of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. I always want to add the ah at the end. Go for it, David. Thank you, David. Thank you. Awesome. So, as we hear that sound of the new year, the reason I had David do it is not just Rosh Hashanah, but what the Lord has been speaking to me about. And he asked me to go back to a word I gave on January 1st for the new year. How many can remember back that far? That's probably why he asked me to do it again. And one of the things that you guys know I do, I always ask the Lord in advance for a word for us for the year. And our word for this year comes from Psalm 126. And I titled the message, "We Were Like Those Who Dreamed." We're stepping into a new year in the Jewish calendar, but we're still in 2023 as far as the rest of us are concerned. But we had a word spoken to us, a word given to us by the Lord. A word that we're all sitting here going, I don't remember what that was. And it was from Psalm 126. And it starts like this. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. And when we look at the word restored the fortune, sometimes we immediately go to monetary things or as some would have it, the stuff we can buy. But really that word also means the captives. That word fortune means he's restoring the captives. And how many of you have been praying for family members, for neighbors, for relatives, for years? The captives who are captivated by this world. Captured in the things of this world. And the Lord says, I'm going to restore the fortunes. I'm going to restore the captives to Zion. But here it is, a word that we've spoken again and again last couple of weeks. It's there for us. But are we grabbing hold of the words and the promises of the Lord and mixing them with faith, or are we just reading them and speaking them out and declaring them and saying, that's nice? These are words to us from God who is faithful, but he asks us to mix it with our faith, to get a hold of it with our faith. When I say our faith, it's our faith in him, not our faith in, do you hear what I'm saying? It's not that I'm that faithful or that I'm that wonderful, but he is. He is faithful and steady and constant. And so is his word to us. So we are like those who dream. Who dreamed. So when we look at this and we think about what Jesus did, he has restored our fortunes. He's the one who's the restorer. He's given us new life. He's the one who brings us hope. He's the one who is our peace. He's the one who is our provision, our salvation. The promised Holy Spirit he's poured out upon us to set the captives free, to break the chains, to bind the brokenhearted. And see, for that, we become dreamers. Do you know people who do not have hope don't dream? I'm just going to go back and look at that little person laying out in the grass, looking up. Daydreaming. Have you ever daydreamed? How many of us spent many classroom hours daydreaming? And we think in our heads and we imagine and we picture. And as we see it, dreamers dream positively. When you daydream, you think about, oh man, how wonderful something's going to be, and I can see this happening, and I can see that daydream, not nightmares. And I'm talking, if you're a nightmarer, you're the one who's always thinking the negative and all the negative outcomes that are going to happen. That's a nightmare. That's not a dream. People who have no hope don't dream. They can't see the future. They can't see the goodness. They can't see the good things of God. But what does it say here? They were like those who dreamed. Now remember, I started by saying this is the word God has given us at Camrose Community Church. I'm not saying he hasn't given it elsewhere, but this is where the year started. We were like those who dreamed. We have hope. We have vision. We see things. Do you see the ones you've been praying for coming home? Do you see it in your mind? Remember our children? Do you see it in your mind and know it in your heart? You might not see it out here in the practical every day as of yet, but I tell you what, when we start seeing in our mind and feeling it in our hearts as we see our loved ones coming home, as we see our loved ones coming to Christ, as we see our neighbors coming to Christ, as we see our governments change for the glory of God, because we're declaring the enemy does not have power. But are you focusing on the negative, or are you seeing, are you dreaming the outcome of good things? Oh no, Pastor Shannon, things are going to get way worse. They might. But I'm going to be a dreamer who dreams the dreams of God. I'm going to take on his vision. I'm going to take on what he says. And he says about us, we're like dreamers. How many of you want to dream bigger than you've been dreaming? Come on. What do we want? What do we see? How do we want things to go? What is God telling you? I'm going to cough, Rebecca. Sorry. Can I ask someone, would someone grab me a bottle of water? I should have done that before I came here. Thank you, Trevor. Trevor's got that. Appreciate. Huh? They know, yeah. They know where they can find it. Yeah, we're good. Thank you, though. I take it there was others. Sorry, I got a bit of a frog here. Dreamers envision the future, and they see beautiful. They see tranquil. They see it and are filled with joy. Have you ever started, your daydreaming? And as you're daydreaming, all of a sudden you realize you're smiling. You're smiling because something's happening in your heart. Have you ever started laughing out loud? Because your heart is full of joy. When we dream the dreams of the Lord, it says this. Our mouths were filled with laughter. Wait, you know what? Sorry, I need to go ahead and give you that scripture here. Maybe. One more time. There's the first one. Our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. Have you found yourself busy in the kitchen and you're, well, or in the garage or wherever, I shouldn't put it. Maybe you're sitting in the bathroom. I don't know. But you're thinking about the Lord and you're thinking about the things he's promised you and you're seeing the things happen and in your thoughts and in your dreams and you start kind of giggling to yourself, man, you're good God. And all of a sudden a song rises up in your heart. Maybe it's something you've sung here at church or heard on the radio, or maybe it's just a brand new song. Lord, you're good. It just starts coming out. Our mouths are filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. Because our vision is the dreams of God. Our vision is in heaven. Our vision is with our Father who says. And we're not caught up in the circumstances around us and going, oh my goodness. Because how many of you know that the world is fallen? And it has been almost since the beginning. It ain't going to get better in and of itself and through its own efforts and its own energy. And it just ain't. Or is not. But through us, through the church, through the ecclesia, Christ has given us power and authority. This morning, when we stood up and made that declaration, it's the same one that didn't show up last week, but that's why we did it again this week. It's powerful, right? And the words that we speak, because it's the same vision God has, it's the same dream God has that we're connecting with, there's power behind it. There's power in it, amen? Amen. So let's continue to be dreamers. It's a promise of God. You're always going to continue to dream. You're always going to continue to see the things of God, the dreams of God. It isn't going to just stop. And our mouths will be filled with laughter as we see in our minds the pictures of the things, the visions, like this morning, the vision that God gave me. And it's just like, is that just me or is that you, God? You know, how many of you have ever done that? This is just me, God. I just have this. And it's just like, nope, Holy Spirit won't let it go. It's like, okay, I'll get up. I'll share it. But the vision was of freedom. The promise is the freedom. And it isn't because I just got up and just shared the word. It's because the power was on the word because he sent it. But here's the thing. We have to receive it. We can't just say, oh, that's just nice. Oh, isn't that lovely, God? That's encouraging. We need to receive it, get a hold of it, and say, that's for me, because I know what that's like, and that's where I'm standing. That word is for me. When we hear these words. From the overflow of our hearts, the mouth speaks, Jesus tells us. And if our mouth is overflowing with laughter, with joy, with songs of joy, then what's going on in our heart is a good thing. Amen. The thing about that is when the joy starts overflowing from our hearts, we start touching nations. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. I remember, how many of you know you carry a kingdom with you? How many of you know the glory of the Lord resides in you? The Holy Spirit is within you. I remember a couple of years back, we were sitting in the back having coffee with my brother was there. I had come to visit my brother Steve, and Glenn Forsberg walked in the door to come and have a visit with us. And so we were sitting around the kitchen table visiting and chatting and having coffee and laughing and telling, you know, various stories. You know how it is, you're just having coffee together. And afterwards, my brother came to me and says, man, you could really sense the Holy Spirit on Glenn. Ever met somebody like that? Look at the person next to you and said, that's you. That's you. Holy Spirit presence on us that affects people. I always laugh when I do weddings for couples or what that I'm going to be honest are not believers. And you get invited to go to the reception afterwards. And because they're not believers, they're really hesitant at sitting with you as the pastor. Why? They're convicted. There's the presence of the Lord. I've had that lots of times, which is why I have my friend Neil, and I always take him, so at least I have someone to talk to. I remember going to a wedding one time, and again, this was with even believers, and a gal was there that I went to Bible college with, and so we got chatting, and I said, well, let's sit together at the reception. Oh, that'd be awesome. And she tells her husband, and her husband goes, really? We got to sit with the pastor? Yeah, he did, yeah. So we sat down together, and we started sharing and having fun and laughing, and we were killing ourselves laughing. Tears rolled down our face. And he went home that night and said to her, that's the best time I've ever had at a wedding. And I don't mean that, what I'm saying is when the Holy Spirit gets a chance, the joy isn't judgment, it's infectious and contagious. And the nations, that's just a little look, the nations see it. The nations see the goodness of the Lord. And say, the Lord has done great things for them. It is a witness and a testimony. And then guess what happens? We agree with them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we are filled with joy. So I want to challenge us when we have days we're not filled with joy because, hey, stuff happens. To stop. And reflect back. Dream with the Lord again. Dream with the Lord into this situation or circumstances that's stealing the joy. Dream into it. What does God say? What has God given us? Let us see it happen and take hold of it and laugh. Where is the power of the enemy? Oh, death, where is your sting? My God is the God who provides all my needs according to his riches and glory. My God is a God who heals. Let's move on to verse 4 here. Verse 4 says this. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Anybody ever gone to the Negev or ever been in a desert? Few? The Negev desert is, first of all, hot, and it's dry. In fact, it's the southern part of Israel that's reason it's so dry, it gets less than 8 inches of rain in a total year. Dry, hot. It means dry land. Negev means dry land. Imagine that in Hebrew. Isaiah refers to this land as the land of hardship and distress. Anybody ever felt like they're wandering around the Negev? I'm not putting it up there, but Psalm 78:15 says, He splits the rocks in the wilderness and gave them water as abundant as the seas. He brought streams out of the rocky crags and made water flow like a river. It doesn't matter how dry the place is you're wandering, God can split the rocks and bring the water, bring the relief. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. This again is a word the Lord had given us in past years, but this is from the Passion Translation. Stop dwelling on the past and don't even remember the former things. I'm doing something new, something unheard of. Even now it sprouts up and grows and matures. Do you perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness. I will open up flowing streams in the desert. This is his promise for us. And it's by faith we need to take hold of these promises. Where are you feeling dry? What does it feel like? What is going on in your life where it's dry and hard? And maybe it's not, praise God, if it's not for you. But some of us are walking through some hot, dry places right now. But what does it look like for the vision of God in that place? Where is he taking you? Where is he leading you? What's the dream? What's the vision? And it's not a mirage. And that those dreams and those visions and those promises are like the water that flows. And he's making a way. He's making a way. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. I don't know how many of you have wept and cried over family members or over situations or whatever, but there is a reaping coming. And when you do, you are going to be singing. In fact, if you already see it, if you've already got vision for it, you're already singing. I will sing in the storm. 2 Corinthians, I don't know if you can see that. 2 Corinthians, it's 4, verses 13 to 18. It says, therefore, don't lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles, some of King James afflictions, are achieving for us an eternal goal that far outweighs them all. So fix your eyes not on what's seen, but what's unseen. What is seen is temporal, but what is unseen is eternal. When we dream the dreams of God, when we see what he is envisioning, when we get a hold of that, that's eternal, folks. All the stuff that's going on here, the light afflictions, are temporal. And so when we again lay those temporal things down and seek to see the visions of God and what he's doing, those who go out weeping are going to be carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy. And what are they carrying? Carrying the sheaves, the harvest. And we know there's a big harvest out there ready to come in. And his promise to us. What do you see? What do you dream? What are you dreaming for? What are you envisioning? I want to put up on the screen, I'm going to do it piece by piece, the word that the Lord gave Scott to share with us last week. It starts, "You have sung to me my name, proclaimed my name, praised my name. So you should, and that is good. But know it is my name and it is my power and authority that I've given the name that you trust in, that the name I have given you has brought you to where you are. And know this too, that where you are is where I want you right now. It's not where you'll stay, for I have big plans for you. It is where you are that I want you right now. And know this too, that my name that has brought you this far, my name, and again, the power and authority that I've given that name, and the trust that you must maintain in that name that I have given you, that will bring you to where I need you to be, want you to be, and in the end will bring you home in great glory." What a word for us. What a word to his people. How many would like to be in a different place than they are right now? And I don't mean here in church, because just say it. Besides, we have a great potluck coming, so. But what I'm trying to say is God has a plan for us, and we need to keep pressing in and trusting and dreaming with us, and he keeps adding things to us and words to us to encourage us and build us up and remind us of who we are, because we are believers full of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the Most High God. Jesus dwells with us. We've been seated with him in heavenly places, and he's given us power and authority by his Spirit to move in the earth and bring about his dream and vision. The Lord has said to this church, from Luke 12, and I'm just going to, 32, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." Do you have that written down somewhere where you can see it, get a hold of it daily? Revelation 21:5, this is Jesus. "He who sits on the throne says this, I am making everything new. Then he said, write it down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Ezekiel 11:19. Oh, I love this one. Again, this is to us as believers. "I will give them an undivided heart." You're not half in the world and half in the kingdom. He's giving us an undivided heart. And he's putting the new spirit in them. "And I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh." Do you perceive it? What he's doing, a new thing, that he's done a new thing in us? You know, we might be a small in number right now, but our God is mighty. Gideon's army was small in comparison, but he's doing something in our smallness. We know we can't rely on us. We have to rely on him. It's all about him and what he's doing. It's not about how good or great we are, or how many fantastic programs we have, or even that we have a prayer meeting on Sunday night, or that we do food bank Monday morning. Those are all out of the hearts of believers, because we love our God. But that doesn't make us that great and wonderful and awesome. It just means we do that because he is great and wonderful and awesome. And we continue to love up and want to love up on people. And we desire to see them fully in the kingdom of God, experiencing everything, dreaming with us the things of God. I have another one there. Ezekiel 4:10 says, "Who dares despise the day of small things?" You're right, that is. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Those of you who can read, it's Zechariah. Those of you who are listening to me, I stand corrected. In the last verse, or the last of Psalm, and I won't go all the way back and put it up there, of Psalm, oops, it's the wrong page, 126, it says, "Those who go out weeping." And I just want to challenge you in this. I'm not challenging you in the weeping part, but those who go out. I want to speak to us as though some of you here aren't seniors. And bless you in that. We appreciate the youthfulness of you sitting here. But one of the things that sometimes happens is we adopt a thinking of the world. And that is retirement. Now, we retire from our jobs and move on, but I'll tell you what, you don't find anywhere in Scripture where God retires anybody or says they should retire. If you find the word retirement in there, I'm sure it doesn't mean what we think it means. But I want you to think of when the ministry started for Moses. How old was he? How old was Abraham? Well, when Isaac was born, he was 100, but he started his journey at 75. And time again, we kind of resign and we say things, I'm going to say this. We say things like, well, we're just too old to do that. It's the younger generation who needs to do that. The younger generation needs to be here and do that. But why aren't we, and I'm in there too, praying for strength like the younger people to do the thing so that we have the strength of the Lord? Why are we resigning to, I'm getting old, I'm tired, I'm there too, trust me. And where we get creaky, it's just like, Lord, I pray over the creakiness, but give me strength for this day. If we can only do it one day at a time, to ask the Lord for health, wholeness, and healing, that we may serve him in this kingdom, we may take the word of God, take the vision he's given us. If God told you tomorrow, I want you to go on a missions trip to, or maybe start a new mission somewhere, how many of you are going, oh no, that can't be me. Do I say it? No, don't say it. I'm not gonna curse that over you. But how about if it becomes something different? How about if we bless the day that we rise into and say, thank you, Lord, for a new day that I can serve your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for the strength that raised Christ from the dead, quickening my mortal body today so that I can step out into the visions and the things you're showing me. Yeah, send me, Lord. Those of us who struggle with mental health issues and that, we find that hard. That, you know, that's a hard thing to think, but why can't we be praying and or at least go and ask somebody, could you pray for me in this moment because I don't want to do anything. I don't want to get out of bed. I don't even want to ask you to pray for me. And so, Father, I even ask right now that you give us promptings of the Holy Spirit of those people that we need to go pray for because that's where they're stuck. But we have dreams and visions of the Lord to move forward in this church. There is a harvest field ready to be harvested. And what we come sometimes think we have to be the great grand evangelist standing on a platform. How about just talking over the fence to your neighbor? How about inviting that person that maybe you don't necessarily enjoy that much to go for coffee? Yeah, and there's a kitchen table. Yeah, I heard that. The Lord isn't finished with us yet, folks. And I want us to remember this. Age is nothing to God. So let's continue to seek the Lord, who has said, when the Lord restored their fortunes, they were like those who dreamed. We are like those who dream. That's not even a word. We are those who dream. Amen? Why don't you stand with me? Lord God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are so good to us. We are like those who dream. We see the vision of you and what you're doing, your kingdom, Lord, that we can take the good news of Jesus to the world. Father, we see our family members coming home. We see them. We see them coming off of this. We see them. We're rejoicing, Lord. We're excited about that. And Father, we thank you for the healing and the deliverance and the strengthening that is coming into us even now, even in this moment. And we give you glory for it, Lord. We give you the glory and the praise. Bless us, Lord, as we go out this week. Open our eyes to see the one who needs to hear from you this week. And Father, we also want to lift up the potluck. We thank you for the many provisions that have been made for it. Again, it's a bounty from your hand to ours. And as we share in fellowship, may you be glorified and us edified. And we again give you the glory and the praise in your precious name, Lord Jesus. And all the saints said, amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great week.